So we are learning how to bless others, because as God told Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, we are blessed not to keep it, not to hoard that blessing, but to be a blessing to others. And we need to be reminded of that, because it's so easy to focus inward, our own needs, the needs of our own, in our own lives, in our own families, in our own church. It's so easy to just get stuck there. And so we're spending five or 6 weeks this fall focusing on blessing others and blessing the community where we live. So Bless is an evangelism resource from the Evangelical Covenant Church, the family of churches that we belong to. And Michelle Sanchez, I'm going to be quoting from her a lot today. She's got a lot of wisdom to share in this topic. She says, true evangelism is not about making a sale. True evangelism is about extending a blessing. Evangelism means sharing good news. And so we need to care about people, really care about people, and extend blessings in order to and as part of sharing good news. So last week we began with prayer, a very good place to start, and today we're at listen with care, the L in bless. So throughout scriptures, New Testament, Old Testament, everywhere, there's this constant command, listen. Listen to my word. Listen to me. The fact that the command is repeated so often, I think, speaks not only to its importance, but also to how hard we find it to actually listen to God and to follow through with what God is asking of us. There's frequent failure from Bible times to now for God's people to listen to him. But God doesn't give up on us. He continues to try to get our attention and say, please listen to me. Listen to me. Like a loving parent who just wants their child to go down the right path. Like a passionate teacher who wants their students to get the material. Please listen to me. Listening to God opens our hearts to listening to others, which is what we're mainly focusing on today. But the L in bless is not just listen, but listen with care. I want you to think of a time when you didn't feel heard. You were trying to communicate something and you could tell you were being tuned out. It's how my family feels when they update me on the status of their fantasy football teams, right? And I try to be interested, but they can tell. I'm just not 100% following with what they're saying. Now I want you to think of a time where you felt really heard or understood. Maybe it was something that was difficult to talk about, but you felt that they were really there for you. I think we all feel loved and cared for when someone really listens to what we have to say and aren't just like jumping in with what they want to talk about or their story or their advice, but really listening and hearing us. So Michelle Sanchez wrote a devotional guide that's kind of a companion for the Bless materials from the church. And it's called Bless in Living Color. So she notices that we have a tendency to share Christ, if we share Christ at all, honestly. But if we do, we have a tendency to reach out to those who are most like us. Just as we tend to worship and work and study and play with those who are most like us. So this devotional, which you can get in your inbox if you want, just search Bless in Living Color, and that should come up, and you can sign up to get 10 days of devotionals that I think are really good. challenging us, this devotional challenges us to extend blessings and share Christ beyond our usual circles, and particularly to reach across boundaries and especially ethnic boundaries. And so I want to share some of what she wrote about, specifically about listening. So I'm quoting her for a while. I'll tell you when I'm done here. She writes, "While our default setting may be to engage with and bless people who are like us, God loves to see us bless across boundaries of difference, including ethnicity, class, gender, age, ability, and more." She says, "Evangelism is often associated with talking at people rather than hearing from people. We must practice engaging authentically with others and listening carefully to their stories. Whenever we listen, people feel validated and loved, and they're also much more willing to listen to us in return." Sanchez writes that Barna's studies indicate that the number one quality people look for is the ability to listen without judgment. Yet, fewer than half of those same people surveyed said that the Christians that they know personally possess this quality. Ouch. It seems that too often, as followers of Christ, we are known not for our listening, but rather for our talking. The trope is not that we are generous grace givers, but rather stingy judges looking to dish out sentences. Some people undoubtedly steer clear of faith conversations with us because they anticipate confident declarations, not engaging dialogue. Yet we can recommit to engaging in conversations as Jesus did. So that's what I wanted to share from you from Michelle Sanchez. And it may seem unfair that sort of the loudest, most obnoxious Christians are the ones that kind of get, make us all look bad. But I think we can all recommit to engaging in conversations as Jesus did. So let's get into Luke 18, today's passage. We're going to look at one of Jesus' conversations. I mean, there's all kinds of great conversations in our Bibles. But on this day, Jesus was near Jericho. There was a blind man at the side of the road who was begging. He could hear the crowd walking with Jesus. We could hear a commotion. So he asked others around him what was going on. He was told that Jesus of Nazareth was walking by. He called out, but he didn't say, "Jesus of Nazareth." He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now, those who were leading the group with Jesus, those in front, those who led the way, rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." So those in the front of this group did not listen to this blind man. I mean, they could hear him. That wasn't the issue. They could hear him, but they didn't want to hear him. They tried to silence him, which didn't work. It had the opposite effect. He got louder, shouting for Jesus, trying to get Jesus' attention. Why did the people there want the men to this blind man to be quiet? I mean, we can guess. Maybe they didn't want Jesus to be delayed in his important trip to Jericho and then on to Jerusalem for an even more important trip. Perhaps they didn't like how bold he was being and making demands of Jesus. Maybe it comes down to the assumptions that people made about who was worthy of Jesus' time and attention. In that day, many assumed that disabilities were the result of sin, and beggars on the side of the road were looked down on as the bottom. And so the people, for whatever of these reasons, the people tried to silence the man because they couldn't imagine that Jesus would want to be bothered with him. So the shushers are our bad example in this story. They didn't listen. some of the things that get in the way of their listening also prevent us? Do we make assumptions based on outward appearance? Do we make quick character judgments or shut our ears? What about time or just being too busy? What about, and this is a big struggle for me, the to-do list versus people and relationships? Or are we uncomfortable with others' needs and their pain? Does it bring up our own stuff and make us feel uncomfortable? I can honestly say that for me, sometimes the answer to all of those is yes. Listening is hard work. Sometimes not listening is a whole lot easier. Which brings us to Jesus, who listened to the blind man, whose name we don't have. Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you?" So Jesus was on his way to Jericho, where he was going to meet Zacchaeus. And then he was going to Jerusalem with the very important mission of saving the world through his death and resurrection. He was busy, had things going on, but he stopped what he was doing. And then Jesus asked the man a question. "What do you want me to do for you?" This gave the man a chance to express not only his desire for healing, but also his faith that Jesus could do it. Immediately, Jesus declared that his sight was restored, and it was, and the seeing man got up and followed Jesus and praised God, and he joined the people who had just tried to silence him. And they all followed Jesus together, and I gotta wonder, what was that like for the shushers, you know? Were they, like, uncomfortable with him, still thinking of him as unworthy or unclean? Did they mutter kind of an awkward, "Sorry about that, glad you're here"? Or what? Actually, we know what happened. Verse 43, "Good for them, when all the people saw it, they also praised God." So they saw what Jesus was up to, and came around, quickly noticed God's work, and adjusted their own expectations. Jesus is our example in listening to others. He stopped who he's doing. He took the time. He gave the man his full attention, even though he had crowd around him and the cross before him. He invited him to express his need. He was not turned off because he was loud or because of his social status. He brought healing because of his power and love. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus asked a lot of questions. Depending on how you count them, you get kind of more than 300 questions. This "what do you want me to do for you" question is several times. Jesus was asked, I'm not the one who counted this, but somebody else counted. Jesus was asked at least 183 questions, and he only answered three directly. So this tells us a lot about how Jesus talked with people. He did a lot of listening. Even the teacher, the word of God, God in flesh, he asked questions to draw people out and get them thinking and talking about the things that are the most important. Not because he needed the information, he already knows their hearts, but he invited them to express it. Michelle Sanchez says, "When we ask questions, we express humility. When we ask questions, we gain insight into the real hopes, dreams, and wounds of others, as well as the ways Jesus longs to engage those needs. And as we listen, we discover clues of where God is already at work in others. And we feel God's nudge about how we can join him." Because remember, as we talked about last week, God's already there. God is already at work. There's nowhere we can go, no one we can interact with who's not already loved and pursued by God. One more example. This is from Acts chapter 8. Philip, so this is after Jesus' death and resurrection. Philip, Jesus' follower, Jesus' worshiper, he starts to follow Jesus' lead. He goes out and he starts listening to people. He starts asking questions. So in Acts chapter 8, we learn that the first big persecution broke out in Jerusalem against Jesus' followers. And that persecution actually accelerated the spread of the good news of Jesus, because everywhere those new Christians went, they talked about Jesus. Philip went to Samaria first. So if you remember, Samaria was not far from Jerusalem, but it was a neighborhood that was avoided by Philip and people like him. The practice was to go way out of your way and go around Samaria and avoid it. Philip went right into the neighborhood. He crossed ethnic and religious boundaries, and he went there and he talked about Jesus, and God did some awesome things, and there was great joy. Next, I'm going to pick up the story at verse 26 and read it for us. This is what happened next. Verse 26, now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out, and on his way, he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Candake, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah, the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And the story goes on. They read the scripture together. The man, we don't have his name either, unfortunately, he asks to be baptized right away. And he's baptized, and then Philip disappears and shows up somewhere else where Philip continues to preach the gospel. So Philip first listened to God. He went where God told him to go, and then when the Spirit said, go to that guy, he ran over. No hesitation. He crossed more boundaries, both ethnic and religious. First by going to despise Samaria, and then by talking with this Ethiopian official who was in Jerusalem to worship at the temple. Did Philip immediately launch into a sermon? No. He asked a question. Do you understand what you are reading? He started with a question, just like Jesus. And this led to an opportunity to talk about Jesus and the cross and the resurrection. And he was so happy. The man was so happy to have heard the good news. So when we listen, when we ask questions and listen, we are following Jesus' example. We are caring for people the way Jesus did. When evangelism takes us across boundaries, ethnic or religious or other boundaries, as it did regularly for Jesus and Philip and the other disciples, across those boundaries, it's that much more critical that we listen and ask questions and suspend judgment and open our hearts and minds and learn something new. And be humble. Listening is awfully hard work, but remember, God is already at work in everyone around us. We're simply partnering with him. Let's pray. Lord God, make us more like Jesus. Give us compassion enough to stop what we are doing and see and hear those around us. Give us confidence in your love and humility to admit that we don't know what everyone needs. Give us courage to step across boundaries to share Jesus' love. Give us the questions to ask and the patience to listen. Give us the grace to care for family, friends, and strangers alike, that we might communicate your love. And help us listen to you and your word, and thank you that you listen to all of our prayers and that we always have a friend in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.